Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires and our dear friends at the Justice Brothers. Have a catching up episode with Christian Fittipaldi. Gathered this here on a Wednesday at the Rolex 24, bit of a setup and final preparation day. This weekend marks Christian's final professional motor racing event, at least from a full-time capacity. As you hear him explain, could he show up somewhere and do a one-off here or there in the future? Very possible, but that's really not the direction he is thinking. So, wanted to sit down with Christian. I've always had a real affinity for him, knowing just a good human being to begin with, but also such an amazing race car driver, really at the top of his game in many series over the years. Did some pretty cool stuff in Formula One with smaller teams. In kart and IndyCar, was also one of the big stars there. Spent time in NASCAR. It's really been a huge part of Grand Am, the Daytona prototype formula, now in IMSA with the DPI formula. A longtime member, super successful, championship winning guy with the Action Express team. So this really wasn't one of our My Racing Life and Career episodes where we wind the clock back and talk about all kinds of different things that has spanned his career. This is just meant to be a, hey, pal, this is your final weekend. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What's your mindset? We also spoke about what he will be doing once he is done on Sunday and climbs out of the cockpit for the final time, that Cadillac DPI VR, and his ongoing role, the new role he will take with Action Express there. So just about a 20-minute, 25 minutes here or so with Christian, and hope you enjoy it. I know I really did. There were some really cool insights that he shared here. Also, just understanding, for those of us who've been around for a little while, we tend to go through two, maybe three career changes, major career changes in life, knowing that at 48 years old, Christian is now heading into what could be really his final career switch. Interesting to hear that, just, you know, man-to-man, human-to-human, not so much just race car driver. So I hope you enjoy this. He is, so glad that we have him, that we will continue to have him in the IMSA paddock, even if he is not wheeling around that awesome number 5 Cadillac for Action Express anymore. All right, well, let's get going with Christian Fittipaldi, catching up with our man from Brazil, brought to you by the Justice Brothers and Cooper Tires. Christian Fittipaldi, crazy to think we are not too far away from at least your major professional farewell from the cockpit. Hope we might still see you in some other fun things in the future, but tell us how you arrived at this decision and decided to make the Rolex 24 a place that's been very special for you as that farewell event.
Why do you ask me the questions, Marshall? You pretty much said it all.
Well, thanks for coming. It's been great having you, Christian.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to see you next year. Well, it was a combination of a bunch of different things. I don't know what, like something beyond my control, something a lot bigger than me. When I got out of the car in Mossport, I said, that's it. I'm not going to do it anymore. And
was it an enjoyment thing, or you just turned enough miles where
I think it was I threw a lot of things in the bag, and then this bag got bigger and bigger. And basically, when I got out of the car in Mossport after qualifying, something pretty much tipped it over. And then that was it. I think everything in life has a chapter, and right now I feel it's time for me to close this chapter and open a next one. And I'm not going to hide from anyone. I'm not going to lie to anyone. Having said that, if there's a one-off and the conditions are right, I see me racing. It's not that I'm never going to drive a race car again in my whole entire life, but as far as doing it on a consistent basis and probably driving a prototype, I'm probably never going to do it anymore.
Coming out of that Mossport qualifying session, was that something where the realization not only hit you, but it also was completely settled? Or is it something that took a while to kind of work through? I ask that because We were both much younger men when this journey started, right? You've been doing this your whole life. So it's for you, it's not just a decision of I'm going to stop the full-time professional driving, but it's a significant lifestyle change too that couldn't have been – I don't know if that would have happened and clicked instantly as well.
I think it's as I mentioned, I go back to the bag and it's a combination of a bunch of different things, but I love races and I watch them on TV. I am a race fan, and last year, like, we're always learning in life, but last year I learned something different when I wasn't doing the full season. I was only doing the endurance races, and at all the other events, I was watching the cars out there on the track and trying to analyze why is the Acura better than the Cadillac? Why is the Cadillac worse than the Ligier? Or whatever symptoms I could visually see. And to be honest with you, there is a little bit of a challenge in that also. And I love the fact that I can help my team that way. And I can help people that helped me a lot, especially throughout this last seven year stint of my racing career. And I think this is the minimum that I can do for them. And as I mentioned, I love racing. I just don't feel like driving anymore. And that's it. Like I don't feel like, at least it happens to me, like I want to turn off on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night when I go to bed. Yeah. Like it's that fell in the bag also. I don't want to really worry about or frying a little bit in bed, taking a little bit more time to sleep. And you know what? If I didn't go through that, if I could care less, just shrugged my shoulders, I probably shouldn't be doing this. So that's my way of devoting myself and trying to be serious to the sport and being serious to the company that hired me. And that's the way I've always been, and I don't feel that anymore. Then you go on the practical side of it. There's no doubt that the age is a factor. I'm not going to lie to you. There's no doubt that like when they send me to the simulator, I definitely don't have the same pace as like the kids.
That was one of the fascinating things you mentioned a few weeks ago here at the Roar, and we'll get to the new role that you'll be stepping into full time with the sporting director at Action Express. But you'd mentioned that about doing simulator time with the Cadillac DPI VR, and I thought it was so interesting to hear that for you, the younger drivers on the team, the Albuquerques, the Nasers, and so on, you said they were sometimes 2 or 3 seconds faster per lap on the simulator than you. And obviously we know that on track that's not the case, but you said their style of learning is different than how you learned to drive a race car, and that it connects differently with being able to use that simulator.
Yes, indeed. They drive only with their eyes. And I can't drive with my eyes. Like, I'm more of an old-fashioned or old-style guy or old-style learning curve. And I like to feel the car. I like to feel the G-forces. And obviously, the simulator gets probably 20 to 30% of that job done. Mm. But it's nowhere close to what the car really feels. And the new generation, because these guys start driving simulators on video games ever since they were born, it's completely different. So it naturally happens to them, and to the point that I don't play video games. I don't like video games myself, and I have never driven simulators like on a video game. So that's one of the reasons. Now, the other thing I notice is that their operational window is bigger than my operational window. I think that when we're operating in the same window, I'm still very competitive. But when, like, the car is outside of my operating window, they pretty much, I'm talking about the kids, they pretty much shrug their shoulders and say, oh, okay, it's a little bit oversteery, but I can drive it.
Wow.
For me, it's a little bit oversteery, but I'm uncomfortable. I can't drive it. It's not that I'm scared. I can't go on the gas pedal. It's
decades of physical reaction inputs that you've developed are telling you something that for them they've developed different
inputs. A different way. And even the way they set up the car, like, it's different. I think it goes from generation to generation, and it keeps changing. And if we're definitely going to, hopefully with you, with your program, you're going to look back 20, 30 years from now, and the kids, which are the current kids right now, are going to be answering you the same question that you just asked me, there's no doubt that Emerson, Rick Mears, Ray Hall, like all these guys, even go back further, like Mario, they drove the car in a certain way. Then their time changed a little bit. Then it went through maybe Michael, Zanardi, Tracy, me, like Dario, like all the guys that were out there. I think we had a pretty much a 15, 20-year span, which was different, like the car, compared to what Emerson used to drive, compared to what Mario used to drive. And now the kids that are doing Indy cars right now, it's different again, like the way they set up the car, the way they prepare for the race. And it's something natural in life, and thank God that we have that. Imagine if we didn't have this evolution, then probably the sport would be boring, or I don't know what else to say, but I think it's a natural tendency, and I'm okay with it, and I've been doing this for 38 years of my life. Like, it's not that I started to race yesterday, and if you then again go back to the IndyCar days, like, I'm probably one of the guys that still lasted. A lot of them, like, have already retired or are doing something else a long time ago. So, as I mentioned before, like, there's a bunch of different reasons. For me, I felt it was the time to close a chapter and open a next chapter in my life and pretty much move on. Let's face it. I knew since the beginning, and everyone is like this, you're not going to be a race car driver for the rest of your life.
Of course, period. Of course.
Yes, and that's going to happen to everyone. Even if you get the most talented guy there, even like if Senna was still here with us, like at one day or at one point, his journey inside a race car would come to an end.
Sure.
So I decided that now is the right time for me to come to an end.
So tell us about this next chapter. And it's not brand new. I mean, you've already been in this kind of sporting director role, trying to apply a lifetime of knowledge and experience to help the Action Express team outside the cockpit. What's the day-to-day picture like for you of what this next phase will be like? Is it going to be a 9-to-5 on the shop floor kind of thing?
No.
How are you going to do this?
It's definitely not a 9-to-5 thing on the shop. I'll be coming to all the races. I'm working for Cadillac at the same time. I'm working for the team, and I'm working for example, Mustang Sampling, our sponsor for various years. So, believe it or not, my schedule is probably going to be more busy than what it was only as a race car driver. We're still in the transition phase right now because, like, I'm here to drive the car to the best of my ability and to see if we can win the 24 again. And then when I go to Sebring, I turn the page and it's something completely different. And as you mentioned, my role over there is try to help the team as much as I can from what I see from the outside, even with the cars being on the track or with things that I spot on the pits going up and down and looking at the competition and why do they have that and we don't have that, why do we have this and they don't have that, trying to understand that. and pretty much help the drivers. And help the drivers not in the sense that I'm never going to teach them how to drive, or I'm going to teach them how to go fast. Like, they are all pros. They know exactly what you have to do. But I see it the same way as a tennis player has a coach.
I mean, and you had mentors coming up.
Exactly.
All the way, and whether it's all the lower formula, F3000, F1, IndyCar, I mean, there's always someone. I know it could have even been a teammate.
Or my dad, or like my dad, especially like in the beginning for many, many years. And it's not that, okay, now I pulled them to the side or I talked to them. It's something completely more relaxed, and maybe we get into the conversation when we're having dinner, prepping for the next day, and then we're talking, and coincidentally, I saw that, let's go back to the Penske or the Acura again. I saw that they brake a little bit deeper, but they are later on the power, and then I just planted a seed in their mind, just looking
to explore
different opportunities out there. And let's say, look at it the other way. The season is a 10 race event. If I manage to transmit something to them that could help them and could make them go 0.2 per lap faster, and that could change the outcome of the race, not because I was driving, I'm not going to be doing that, but because those 0.2 helped them throughout the race. If I do that like 2 times per year, we're talking about 20% of the championship.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot. So
see, if you can do that early in the year, maybe you can take the rest of the year off. Just a really nice vacation.
So I think it's a combination of a bunch of different things. And the way nowadays I look at things in racing at 48 years old is definitely different than how I was analyzing them when I was 25. It's like Carl always used to tell me.
Carl Haas.
Yeah. He looked at me and said, "Oh, I wish I had your body with my experience." Like, that was all the time. That was classic.
Two things I've never had said to me, but I understand why. I understand why. Well, but I think that's what I appreciate in this direction that you're taking, Christian. I mean, you've been very successful in your career. You've driven for a long time. You've been smart financially. You are a businessman as well, trying to develop, more things for yourself, not just earning a paycheck from driving a race car. And you have the opportunity to walk away altogether if you want. But I love the fact that the racing DNA within you says, okay, I'm a racer. I might not be doing this one thing you've known me for after the end of the Rolex 24, but I still want to be a part of this and get really heavily involved. We see a lot of people here every year at the Rolex 24. Oh, there's good old Fred. We haven't seen him in 20 years. Great to have you back. Then there are folks like yourself or our pal Dario Franchitti, who, again, the racing is so much a part of who they are that, okay, the driving side isn't it, but guess what? I can do something over here that I enjoy. But from that, do you anticipate feeling similar sensations of fulfillment, enrichment, value systems, turning that perfect lap, winning that race? That's the thing that we know every driver is just filled with emotions. Any feeling yet as to whether this new, more background role is something where you can still feel that same sense of either a rush or pride? What do you think?
That's a pretty good question that I'll only be able to answer you in a couple of months down the road, and hopefully we'll bump into each other, and then I'm going to answer you that question. I don't know yet, but I think so. Yes, it will fulfill me because that's the intention I have. Because as I said, like, even when I'm at home not doing anything, I watch TV, I watch racing.
You're thinking about it.
I'm thinking about it, yeah. And I like to see cool moves. I like to see interesting stuff that happens during races. And then when, for example, people text me or tweet me, wow, like, what did you think about this or that? I voice my opinion. If it's right or wrong, I don't know, but I'm giving my opinion, period.
We're old enough to where we don't really care about that anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So I think so, yes. And this new role or this new direction that I'm taking can also lead to other things in the future. And other bigger things in the future still involved with racing, but I'm pretty much taking one step at a time. I'm not like diving in a swimming pool with like, okay, I'm full blown in the deep end of the pool. I'm going to dive and I'm going to see what I can get out of it. And I have to do everything at once. Exactly what you mentioned. I don't have to do everything at once. Now I have time is on my side, because for the rest of the second part of my career involved with racing, now I have time. It's as if I'm being reborn all over again. Like I can even go down the road, like running a team or maybe having a team or this or that. No matter what I do, I have time, because I can do that when I'm 55, when I'm 60, when I'm 65. I can't be driving when I'm 65. I can't be driving when I'm 60.
Only Mario Andretti. He was the one exception.
Well, but Mario is Mario. Like, understood. There's only one Mario in the world.
He's not even from this planet, yes. So that's fine.
So the whole combination of that could lead to some other interesting things down the road, which I am completely open. I am looking. Like, I'm not going to say that, no, I'm not thinking, I'm not looking. But maybe my story is going to be written with purely Action Express. Maybe another 5-10 years down the road. Like, you don't know what's going to happen to you, like, 1 year down the road. Like, I don't know. We think we do when we plan ourselves, but we're not sure. No one is sure. So, I don't know. It can go so many different ways. And if I didn't want to be involved with racing, I would have been out of it already. Like, right now, as soon as I'm quit driving, I would have, whatever. What am I going to do? I'm going to fish. I'm going to do this. I'm going to mess around with computers. I'm going to try and get a proper job, like, from 9 to 5. But it would have been something different, which I'm definitely, at the moment, not taking that route.
Hi, I'm Christian. Can I take your order? That doesn't have a good ring to it, my friend. Well, let me ask two things to close here, Christian. So you announced a little while back that, hey, this is going to be my final event, my, call it, farewell event from the cockpit, at least. What kind of feedback did you get? What kind of calls or texts did you get from your friends, whether it's old teammates, you know, an Andretti, a Frank Keady, whomever? I mean, again, your career spans Formula One, IndyCar, NASCAR. I mean, what, ice racing might be the only thing you haven't done. What was the response like from some of your friends?
I think it was, all of them was very positive. If I can use the word proactive, I don't know if it's a correct description for what you just mentioned, but I didn't have anything negative. And in actual fact, I got a bunch of comments saying that, wow, but you're still too young. Like, you could still carry on a little bit more. Yes, I have to admit, yes, I could have carried on a little bit more. But then you start going into another phase of your life, because then you start running into another level where you're not probably as competitive. So you start running different classes, and then you start getting bumped lower and lower. And then suddenly when you open your eyes, you're just pounding around in circles on a racetrack. And that's definitely something that I've ever told my dad that I would never do. Like, if I'm not competitive to the level that I think I need to be competitive, then I'm not going to do it at all. But then, having said that, I'm not quitting because of that. I'm quitting because of a combination of a bunch of different things that were thrown in the bag. and I have new opportunities ahead of me, and I decided that now is the time, because maybe these opportunities are not going to be open to me 2-3 years down the road. So it's a mix of a lot of different things, and that was it pretty much.
Let's close on this. You and our pal, Mr. Barbosa, Joao Barbosa, this new kid that's come along as well, Felipe Albuquerque, this has been a special combination, not just on talent, but personality. I mean, this is when you mentioned 5, 10, however many years, folks look back on this era, that number 5 Action Express car and that driving combo is going to be regarded as a very special one. What are your thoughts going into this weekend? How do you approach knowing that you want to go win this race, leave here with another Rolex on your wrist, but also that, I know, that's a beautiful one right now. You want to go out on a high. You're here to do a job inside the car, but you also know my clock is winding down and being able to enjoy this in this exact capacity as a co-driver. Are you able to separate the two, enjoy it while knowing it's your last? How do you think you're going to approach this weekend?
Well, A, I definitely promised that to myself that, yes, it's going to be a weekend full of emotions, and I'm not going to lie to you, but at the same time, I'm not going to let these emotions drain me or suck me into a difficult situation. And I think one of the things that I've been very good at throughout my whole life was pretty much separating the things. And even when I had a bad day outside of the track for any other reason in my personal life, I never let that, I never dragged it inside of the track and vice versa. I always try to separate everything. And I definitely promised to myself that I wasn't going to do it. Yes, it's my last race. Yes, it's going to be emotional, I'm not going to lie, but I have a job and I am a professional and I have to fulfill requirements and I have to fulfill expectations. Action Express expects to win and they expect me also to get my part of the job done. And this is why they hired me, and this is why I'm here for. So we're going to try our very best to win, João and I, to win Daytona for a fourth time, Philippe to win it for a second time on a overall basis. And I know competition is going to be very, very high, and it's going to be tough out there. Like this year, probably more than any other year, like they're, okay, we don't have a lot of cars. We have, in our class, we have, I think, 11 or 12 cars, but we have, in my opinion, 7 to 8 cars that could realistically win the race, and it wouldn't be, wow, that guy won the race. No, it would be normal. Those guys did an excellent job. They beat the others, and they won the race, period. That's it. It wasn't that something completely unusual happened. So we're trying to definitely, or I'm trying to finish on a high, and Action Express is here to win it like another time. Having said that, the whole group is awesome. Like, what can you say? Okay, maybe we don't have, maybe I can call it the superstar lineup. Maybe we don't have Jordan Taylor Instagramming and tweeting all like, no, with all due respect, he does an awesome job like on his stuff. But
no, you guys are the blue collar, go out, put in the work, get the job done guys. And there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to be social media stars.
Yeah. But this was my motto since the beginning of my racing career, for some reason, the same way Gary Nelson has his motto about keep the wheels turning and expect to win. Mine was deliver. It doesn't matter how you get there, but make sure that you deliver. And this is what we're here for. We're here to try and deliver. And there must be a reason why, since the new IMSA era, which started in 2014, of the 10 championships that were on the table up to the end of last year, Action Express won 9 of them. So it's not that we won one or two, because then you can say, oh, those guys got lucky, or those guys did this, or the other guy, or the other cars broke down. I don't think it's the case. Like, we won 9 championships out of 10 for a reason. We must be doing something right. And it's a lot more simple than what people think it is.
Brother, I'm really happy for you. And as we find time throughout this season, let's sit down again and not talk about new roles or retiring from the cockpit, but just talk about your life and career. You've done so much that's fascinating. I know a lot of folks would love to hear about doing aerial 360s and F1 cars, doing awesome things at Surface Paradise, you name it. Yeah. In an IndyCar, you've done so much, brother. So hopefully we can find some more time to tell some of those tales.
No, absolutely, Marshall. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for me to be here. I'm definitely looking forward to this race, and it's going to be hard. Competition is going to be tough, and even though it's my last race, I'm probably going to learn some new things during the race. No, it's serious, we're learning all the time, and maybe if I learn something in the beginning of the stint, I can still put it in practice towards the end of the stint, or put it in practice on my next stint that I drive the car. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, and we'll see what we can get out of it.